Well, we sure want the Lord to feed our souls here this morning. We've been thinking about something through the week. Since last week, we didn't finish our topic. We started speaking about He that dwelleth in love last weekend. And, for a number of Sundays, the study has been about God's love to us and how much He cares for us. And as has already been said plenty of times, He made us and conceived us and formed us because He loved us. And then He blew the breath of life in us and He began to walk with man. And the Lord has wanted to have a real special place and a real special relationship with men and women and boys and girls. And you know, this morning, the Lord not only loves us, but He wants to be loved back. And He loves to be loved back. Loved back. Not just somehow out of fear, served in a way, but He wants to gain our love. He wants to gain our respect. And then He wants to fill us with His love. And He wants His love to emanate from our lives. And He would like our lives to become to other people a pattern of His love. And He would like to be able to show forth the love of God to the world through His people. And that's you and me. And so as we allow God and seek Him and draw close to the Lord, He wants to begin to be in us in a greater and greater way. He wants to work through us and show His love to people through us. Love is a powerful force. And when people love, things change. You know, people can force others to serve them. We see dictators do that all across the world. But people will only do what they are forced to do. But you have somebody that really loves you, they will die for you sometimes. They will, won't love cause people to endure great hardship for one another. That's love. That's what God gave us. That's a gift from God. It's not just something that happens or that happened accidentally. God designed it. God is love. He put a piece of Himself into us. And so as we experience not only human love, which is something God designed from His own self, His own nature, and put in you and me, He put that in us. But then He wants to go beyond that. He would like to put into our lives a wholesome filling of His love and of His Spirit and of who He is. And He would like our life to just flow to other people out of love, just like He did to us. That's what God wants to do in us and through us this morning. So we want to read a few scriptures here. I'm going to just quickly go over a few scriptures that we said before, because I think it's important for several reasons for us to to build on the foundation that we've already, that's already been laid the last several weeks. 1 John 4 and 16 and 17, it says here, and we not have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now the Lord wants not only the first works to happen in our lives of forgiveness and baptism, but he wants us to go on and be filled with the fullness of his Spirit, to be filled with his love, and our life changed from just a place where we are forgiven, we are started. The Lord wants us to long after the fullness of His love in us and working through us. And we know that all of that comes at a sacrifice. The scripture says, and we read before, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. It takes mercy. It takes sacrifice to really love. And so this morning, we know the Lord wants to put that in us today. And we just want to challenge us that we see it for what it is, that our heart longs after it, that we are not just serving the Lord haphazardly, but that our heels are kicking up, that we are moving forward, loving, longing, stretching for the things of the Lord. I believe we can do that through our life. Though sometimes we just motor along and have a lot going on, and you know the Lord wants our heart to keep crying, Lord, I want your ways in my life, and I want you to have your way in our life. So I want to drop back to the 7th verse there in John 4. And it says here, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know, I believe the reason it says that is because he's talking about God's kind of love. Man's kind of love is, well, you love me and I love you. And you treat me good and I'll be all right, but you get in the way and I'll move you out. Well, God sent his son to die for us when we were the offenders. Not him, we were the offenders. That's his kind of love. And so he says here, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so when we begin to speak of God's love, it is not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And that's the love that he wants us to have to people. Not that they loved us. There is no call for people to love us in order for us to love them. The call is that we have Christ kind of love. Not that they loved us, but that we love them. And that we give ourselves for them. Rosie, you might need to translate. And so we want to just think a little bit this morning about this love now in another way. I want to just say a few more words if we have another minute or two here. You know, love has characteristics, and this was mentioned before, but love has characteristics. False love has characteristics. False love speaks. It says the right things. It has feelings just like love does. When people hear those words of flattery or of whatever it is coming their way, they feel that. They get warm and fuzzy feelings, if you will, and all those things. But you know what? That's not necessarily love. Love is self-sacrificing. Love is something that gives. It doesn't take. The kind of false love that is given, as was mentioned last week, flattery and trying to reach out and get something from someone, trying to reach young people in ways many times that they're unaware of. That's a false love. It flatters. It tells them all the things they want to hear because it wants something. It wants to get something. That's false love. It's wrong. It's evil. It brings evil results. It brings many times disease. It brings many times trouble. It brings broken hearts, broken feelings, that people are all their life sometimes struggle with after those things. And so this morning, it's important for us to realize the concept of love. Some of us were raised in homes where we know what love is. We were raised in a loving home. Others were not. Where the false concepts of love in a false way was given, in such ways that they don't understand what love is. Maybe beatings. I'm not talking about correction. I'm talking about bringing abuse and beatings. That's not love. That's not, well, I love you enough to nearly kill you. You know, love is something that gives of itself. It's correcting. It's blessing. It's loving. to one another. And so this morning I want to look now at the love that the Lord wants us to give to other people. I'm not talking altogether or even necessarily about brethren here. But you know, there is a love to a neighbor that the Lord wants us to learn to give, that there really isn't any benefit to us in it many times. But the Lord wants us to have enough of His love that we become an extension of His arm to love people that are unlovable or that are have great needs. So I want to start here. We're going to read quite a bit in different places. But I just want to think about Luke, the 10th chapter, and look here at a little story that Jesus told that all of us know so well. 10 and 25, it says here, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he..." You know, this morning, Jesus just told him, "You do what you just said and you'll live. You'll have eternal life. You love the Lord like that and you love your neighbor like that, you'll have eternal life." But it says, "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" You know, it seems pretty evident. You know, this lawyer knew the scriptures, I'm sure. He wasn't unaware of the whole of the Old Testament books and the writings and the mind of God toward people. But he, willing to justify himself, said, "Who is my neighbor?" Isn't that, I know this sounds kind of bad, but isn't that like us if we're not careful? Isn't that something we have to watch? But, okay, who's my neighbor? I need to nail this down so I know just exactly what I really have to do here. But Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." He just cut through all of those little rules that was in the Old Testament that told them about his neighbor's ox and all of these things. And he cut through all of that and he said, "Just love your neighbor like you love yourself." You know, that's the love of God, isn't it? And this morning, the Lord is wanting to put that into our hearts. We have to die to ourselves to receive this kind of love. Because if we love someone else like we love ourselves, then we really care about what happens to them, don't we? And if we love someone else like we love ourselves, we're going to spend a little time helping them when they have something in need, aren't we? And so, as we begin to look at this story, we begin to see just the way not these people back there were, but people today are, just like we are if we're not very careful this morning. And so he said, and Jesus answering said, "So who is your neighbor?" Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Now, you think about this situation. This man was hit. And here he was on the road, and it would make anybody feel a little vulnerable to even stop there because who knows what's been going on. But Jesus was just telling this man something. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." I used to always laugh about that. You know, how could this priest do such a thing? Well, I'll tell you what, if we're not careful, we'll be traveling along, and we'll see somebody that needs help, and we'll just think, "I don't want to mess with it. I've got things to do." You know what? That's that's what happened here. This priest just didn't want to get his hands dirty. He didn't want to take the time. He didn't want to maybe endanger himself a little bit. And so it says he passed by on the other side after he saw him. But a certain, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. They had their life to deal with. They had things they needed to do. They didn't have time to stop for this fella. But Jesus was trying to bring a point here that you love your neighbor as yourself. And when you see them in need, it's not all about myself. It's not all about you and me. It's also about those around us. And so Jesus said that that was on those two commandments hung all the law and all the prophets. This was a very important commandment here. And so he says here, but a certain Samaritan. Now who was the Samaritans? They weren't looked on too well by the Jews, were they? As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Did he walk? This guy walked by his own beast, carrying this wounded man? Sounds like it, doesn't it? And brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, he spent his day doing this. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. Now that don't sound like much, does it? Hey, he bought him a room. That's what he did. He paid for his care. How much was that? Quite a little bit, wasn't it? He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? What do you think? Who was the neighbor? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Do you know this? This is the commandment of Jesus himself. And he was bringing something here that's a little bit hard for us to hear, because we have things in life that we want to do. And we don't, if we're not careful, and I'm not accusing us, I'm just telling us this is the way we as people are, if we don't allow the Lord to really work like he wants to. But see, God wanted his love to be shown here. And there was a man that showed that kind of love to this man. So this morning, as we go through life, let's just open our hearts a little more. Lord, a little more sacrifice, a little more mercy on people. Help me not to be hard-hearted. Now, we can't go serve every person in the world, but I believe what Jesus was saying here, this fellow was right on his path. He was right there at his doorstep. That's where he had responsibility this morning. And so God help us to each one take that responsibility. You know, when we see all of these things and we understand God's love and what he wants to do in and through us, let's remember that if we do those things, we were made for this purpose. And sometimes we think, it doesn't fit in my schedule. I know sometimes we can't do everything. But, you know, we were made to serve the Lord. That's what we were made for. We were made to love God. We were made to love our neighbor and those around us. That's what we were made for. And so that is really our focus. That is really, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you need today? You know, as we look to the Lord, sometimes that's a little hard to pray, isn't it? Because we have in our mind already all the things that we have to do. But you know, the Lord really sent us here not to set ourselves up perfectly. And it's no problem if we are able to do that and stay in God's will. That's good. But you know what? Many times we feel like these things get in the way of other things, when really these are the things that are important. Loving God, worshiping him, serving him, studying his word, eating it, We had a little lesson a while back about meditating, chewing the Word of God until it becomes something that we assimilate and eat from and learn from, and it becomes life to us. That's what the Lord is wanting to do in our life. And so all these other things are not in the way of that unless we allow them too much place in our life. Maybe sometimes we are a little, and I'm just going to throw this concept out to us. Maybe sometimes we are a little too temporal minded, and we're thinking all this has to be done. I have to take care of myself in every way. I have no time for this kind of thing. And yet Jesus brought something very important, and he said on these two commandments, not only loving God, but loving others as we love ourselves. I believe the Lord wants us to see that. Mission in life. What are we here for? Do God's will. What's God's will? We have to work, don't we? We have to hold down jobs. We have to do things. Wherever our calling is, we need to be there. But you know what? God is wanting us to do His will. And in that will is for us to love God and take time to worship Him and do His will and study His Word and eat that. That is His will. And in His will is for us to love others like we love ourselves. We see others sometimes. They're on our path. They're right there. We see them. There's something we could do about it real easy. They're not in another country. They're right there. That's His will many times. The Lord is wanting us to open up our mind. It's not just about me and about my future and my retirement and all those things. It's about doing God's will. And I believe if we'll put things in proper perspective, Jesus said that if we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. I believe that's biblical truth this morning. I want to look at Job, the 31st chapter, and look here. When Job was afflicted, there came comforters, supposedly, that began to accuse him and make him look as if he had done evil and wrong. But I'll tell you what Job, I want to read some of what Job said here. In the 16th verse, 31st of Job, it says, "If I have withheld the poor from their desire, if I have not helped the poor reach their goals, if that has not been part of my job, part of my life," he says, "or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, if I have mistreated a widow, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof." Job was testifying before God, before these people. He said, if I have eaten alone and I haven't included those that wasn't able to have it, "for from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from a mother's womb." I believe he's talking about that fatherless one. "From my youth we have helped them," if I understand that right. "If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, or I blessed him with what I had, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, when I saw that I had the upper hand, and I saw those that were in power with me, and I could do what I wanted, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless in that time, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm, let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great and because mine hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, as if I was something special. This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me, that I kept silence and went not out of the door when I saw the poor being oppressed? If I sat there and did nothing, and I sat in my house and didn't go out of the door and help deliver him, he says, oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. I just want to say this to that. Job was a man that God himself declared was a righteous man. In all of their accusing of Job, Job had this testimony, and God had it of him too. And you know, this morning, I just want to challenge us that God's love, Job found a place with the Lord that to me was amazing. When everything fell out on Job, he said the Lord gave, and God has taken, however it says that the Lord had taken away. You know, he viewed those things as God's. All that he had, he felt like God gave him. Job did it that way. He didn't transgress the fatherless along the way. He didn't take advantage of those that were poor along the way. But Job was a man that by his testimony, he said, have they not been clothed? He knew what his life was like. And you know, God honored him. And in the end, he had more than he had at the beginning. He took it all away, and then he gave it all back and way more along with it than he had at the beginning. God honored Job. You know, this morning, there is a time when we come to the last day of our life, we're going to want God to honor us, aren't we, with heaven. We're going to want that. We're going to need that this morning. I will tell you, I believe this is another little part. It's not all that salvation is about, but it's one of the key components that Jesus said was a key component. I want to read Isaiah, the 58th chapter, starting in the 6th verse, and read another pretty familiar passage here. Isaiah 58 and 6. And these people were kind of upset at the Lord because he didn't seem to be answering their prayers and their fastings. And God said to them this, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Now, you know, we don't think of this many times as part of salvation, do we? We're thinking, yeah, I just need to do whatever the Lord tells me. But he's told us, I want you to deal your bread to the hungry. I want you to watch for those around you that's in your path, along your way. I know a brother in another state that has given hundreds of dollars a month to another poor person every month for years because they needed it. And this person is vile. But you know what? They knew they needed help. And they did that for them. And they've done that all these years. I've seen that. You know, I don't want to try to put us in any binds except the bind that the word of the Lord gives us of love, of sharing God's love to other people. And so he says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. When we do these things, he says, your light's going to break forth like the morning comes. And thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be, your darkness shall be as the noonday. Isn't going to be any darkness in your life. He says, And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. This is God's love working. This was his heart, clear back from the beginning. We find many places in the law of Moses, and all through the readings here and there, you see the heart of God wanting to work for people's good. I know there was evil nations that God destroyed. I thought of this morning. There was evil nations God destroyed. God always has destroyed wickedness. He's destroyed the wicked when they got to a certain point. When they got to a certain point in the land of Canaan, did he tell the Israelites to go in there and cast them out? Yes, he did. It was his judgment upon them, just like Sodom and Gomorrah's judgment, just like Noah's flood. The Lord has done that. But I will tell you, to those that have a heart that is tender toward God, there is so much the Lord is trying to give. And he wants us to give that to people. That's the only way they know God, many of them, is that somebody touched my life. And after a while, you know what I found? That after a while, you can start speaking with people. Even though they're hard at first, you love them. Show them love first. You love them. Then they'll hear. You can speak one word and they'll hear more than you would have said in a month otherwise when you love them first. So this morning, I just want to challenge us. I know a number here are good at these kind of things. So I'm not voicing accusations, but the word of the Lord, it gives us clear paths for our feet, that our life has purpose and meaning, direction, that it's a benefit to mankind and society and to the work of the Lord. And the Lord wants us to have hearts that are full of God's love this morning. That takes a little sacrifice to be willing to give that love. In Malachi 3 and 5, listen to what it says here. He says, And I will come near to you to judgment. Now these people here were offenders. And Jesus, the Lord said, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers. Well, we can get on with that, can't we? And against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. Do you know that when we are in a place of power, that it is very easy to oppress other people? The Lord holds that against us if we do that. He wants us, we know it's right, when if we were truly in their situation, then we would think it was done right from that viewpoint. The hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. So you see, those things are right in there. He said, I'm going to come near to you for judgment for these things that has took advantage, that has oppressed the widow, that has oppressed the hireling in his wages, that has oppressed the stranger. The stranger that was there, that was at a disadvantage because he isn't able. He isn't set. He doesn't have family all around him. He doesn't have a situation where he can command anything. He's at total mercy's door many times. And the Lord is telling his people here, I'm going to come near to you to judgment for these things right here. The Lord wants us to be the kind of people that show forth his love in the midst of all that we do this morning. I want to look at Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and the 33rd verse. It says here, and if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. Now, why does it say that so clearly? Because it's easy to vex someone. It's easy to trouble someone that is at a disadvantage. And so he says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. Wow, this is in the Old Testament even. Isn't that amazing? Thou shalt love the stranger as yourself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is the words of the Lord this morning. He said, you was a stranger at one time. You was at a disadvantage at one time. You was in Egypt. And what did they do? They evil entreated you. They worked you hard. You complained and they worked you harder. They killed your babies. They took from you. They made you slaves. And he says, I want you to remember that. I am the Lord, your God. I want you to remember. Now, when you have your dealings with people, you treat the stranger and you love them like you love yourself. So this morning, I believe the world would see a whole different picture than the world that eats one another up constantly all around us today. We want to remember these things. I know that stranger that it's talking about there. Smith's Bible Dictionary says that the word stranger used in the Bible is probably talking about what we would call a naturalized foreigner. But I think the concept is that we love those that are at a disadvantage and try to help them as well. Just a few more. One more fairly long passage, Matthew 25 and verse 31. To 46. Now this is Matthew the 25th chapter tells us what the judgment is going to be like. It's very simple for us to get a hold of verse 1 through about 13 or so, where it's speaking of the foolish virgins and the wise virgins and those that had oil in their lamps. That's pretty easy for us to get a hold of. The second one is talking about the talents. That's pretty easy for us to get a hold of. Everybody has their gift. Everybody has their responsibility from God. And so he has given us things that we are going to weigh in with at the end of the way, and the Lord's going to require of us something. We understand that. But you know, this last one isn't always so easy to understand, but it has a lot to do with our view of other people. But these are three different ways the Lord is telling us something about how he's looking at people, how he's judging people, because he is the judge. He will be the judge. And so, starting at verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So here he says he's going to gather them all together and he's going to separate them like a shepherd from the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. What blessed words to hear the Lord saying at the judgment. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, excuse me, or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What a blessed thing for the Lord to say. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? You know, if we knew the Lord was in prison, we'd be heading over there, wouldn't we? They said, well, when did we see you? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so this morning, just want to leave those few words with you. And think about these things, not just in a negative way, but think about the love that God has showed to us and how he wants it to flow through our life to others. And what a blessing it is when we do that. What a treasure we have. When you give love out, it's the one thing in life that when you give it away, you have more than you started with. And you can give love away and give it away and give it away, and you only get richer and richer. I believe that. I've found it to be so. And so this morning, let's just revamp our concepts a little bit. Well, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to be one of these kind of people. I want to tighten my belt a little and sacrifice a little for these folks that have less than I do. I want to love them like I love myself. And you know, when we do that, I really believe what the Bible says there in Isaiah 58. Before you call on him, it says he's going to answer you. Many times it's that way. You know, the Lord, when we're working hand in hand with him, the Lord works with us. He said your soul is going to be like a watered garden. I believe that too, if we allow him to make it so this morning. And there's a lot of elements. It's not only all about this. But you know, this morning, this is very important too, for us to love other people. I believe the Lord wants it to come through us like that. But you know, there's one more element to this. And it's the human element. But God made that too. You know, when we feel fulfilled, when our mind is active and busy, and we're doing things, do you know that is healthy? It is very unhealthy for us to have nothing to do. And I urge all of us to do our best to get our minds a little bit busier. Think about somebody else, and you might be surprised at the spark that comes in your heart and in your mind. When we get our minds on somebody else and some other things, it's part of the law that God made. He made us, and he made the natural and the spiritual. It interweaves, doesn't it? And how we feel naturally, how healthy we are emotionally, many times, I believe, depends on whether we are in that place that God made us for, all the way through and around. When people are guilty, when they're wicked, that's an unhealthy place. When people are spurning the Lord, that's an unhealthy place. But do you know that when we allow the Lord to give us peace in our soul, we don't have to fuss with that like that anymore? Do you know when we allow God's love to begin to work through us, do you know that maybe we want to feel appreciated more? Everybody really kind of wants, they want people to love them and and appreciate them and think, not hold them up on a pedestal. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the love that is natural between people. Everybody has those needs, don't they? Well, think about somebody else a little. You'd be surprised what that love will do. God made this thing and it all interweaves. It is not just that he said, oh, I want you to go out here. I want you to do this and that. And so we try to follow these little steps. No, he wants us to love people like we love ourselves. Reach out. Make it a way of life. Make our dinner table a way of life to help those that don't always have what we have. I believe, from what I've seen, when we do that, our children will be in awe of what they have when they see what somebody else doesn't have. Do you know that's a blessing to us? When we reach out to the underprivileged and we help people, it builds fiber into their character, into our children's character. It builds fiber into our character. It makes people feel their self-worth, makes a child feel their self-worth. These things are all interconnected. They're all interwoven, and it's the fabric of God in a life. And he wants to put that in us this morning. And he tells us one more place. This is in James. We're all familiar with this, I suppose. But it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We all can take to that pretty quick. But it says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So the Lord has a plan here. He has a way that is more than just rules. It is something he wants to put in our heart and life. His love, he wants us to comprehend it. He wants us to long for it, to reach for it. And he wants it to flow through our life to other people. And then they can see that. And don't you know people long for that kind of love? When it's unselfish, when there's no asking back, when it's true love, like as if you loved yourself, just trying to help yourself. There's something real good about those things this morning. Pray for us too.